What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louie DiBiase joining you, as always, alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. We are 2 days away from the Eagles hitting the field at Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers, the 3-0 Green Bay Packers. This is a must-win game, Gino, for the 1-2 Philadelphia Eagles. They cannot go down 1-3, especially with the schedule coming up. It's a very tough middle of the schedule. It gets easier down the stretch, but this is a tough challenge against an undefeated team in a place that's really hard to play at. And you know what's interesting? Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Eagles have never beaten Aaron Rodgers when he's the guy in Green Bay, if I'm correct, because the last time they beat the Packers was 2013, and Scott Tolzien was playing that game. So, I mean, 2010, they lost week one, and in the playoffs, they got blown out in 2014. Remember, Mark Sanchez was playing 2016 Monday Night Football. I don't know. I'm pretty sure they've never beaten Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they have, and I'm pretty sure that they haven't, because I just have nightmares and try to black out all those moments from when we played.
Especially those 2010 games, man. Oh, man.
The one with Sanchez is just, oh, I can't even believe that was an actual NFL game that was played, Aaron Rodgers versus a end of his career Mark Sanchez. That was just utterly terrible. But excuse me, this time around, this Eagles team, they're getting healthy, Lou. Things are looking up. Like we just said, that they had to get healthy, and today's injury report looked very good. Alshon Jeffrey and Dallas Goedert, full practice.
That's huge. Oh, my gosh, huge. It's huge.
That was I got that. I was driving. I'm actually jobless at the moment, so my job is podcasting in Uber, and I was driving in the Uber, and I saw Alshon Jeffrey, full report to practice, and it kind of was just like a little weight lifted off my shoulders. And it was, we were talking about this yesterday. You kind of know when Alshon's in there, you're going to get the big plays. And just from a matchups perspective, which we'll get into, and then I'll get into on the Locked On crossover with Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers tomorrow, that this Eagles team without Alshon, it's a lot easier to match up. But now that Alshon's in the formula, I think it opens a lot of things. It's because now you have Jair Alexander. Who is he going to cover? And then you play the matchups outside of Jair. And if we didn't have Alshon, I completely believe we would see a repeat of last week where we saw guys struggle to get open. But now with Alshon Jeffrey, one of the best route runners that we've seen in Midnight Green in quite some time, it's going to be good to have him. It's going to be reassuring to have a healthy Alshon and a healthy Dallas Goedert come into this game, even though I'm sure they won't be 100%, but they know the impact that they're going to make in this game, and it's going to be huge.
The Eagles are going to need every bit of help against an undefeated Green Bay Packers team that, while we will get into next segment, the inefficiencies on offense, they are looking like an elite defense. This lead segment today is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now, and for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, to get 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Gino, also, you know, history is against the Eagles here. And once again, using context, this should be a matchup. If the 2019 Eagles are going to show up that we expected throughout the offseason and the national media expected, a Super Bowl contender, one of the top teams in the NFL, then this should be a game that is not seen like a clear-cut loss. Like, it's not, this isn't a given where, oh, they have no chance. Whereas you look at 2014, sure, that Eagles team with Mark Sanchez was 9-3 at one point, but when Seattle came to town or they had to go to Lambeau, you knew they didn't have a shot. Here, this should be a very even back and forth battle. The tough thing is, it's a Thursday night game, you have been banged up, and you have to go on the road. The road Thursday night teams, the past 3 years, are a combined 15-31. They were 4-11 last year, had a better 7-8 record in 2017, but then in 2016 they were 4-12. So again, away teams, it's tough because you're on a short week. The Eagles right now are so banged up that they had to do two walkthroughs on Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday they leave for Green Bay. So it's like, this is the one problem I have with Thursday night football, is the quality of the product always suffers because of this. They're on short weeks, players are always sore, and for the road team it's even tougher because an entire day of practice for the home team is spent traveling for the away team. So the odds are stacked against the Eagles based on their inability to beat Rodgers and being the road team on Thursday night, but I still think this is going to be a game that it's inexcusable. Like, the Eagles, they have to win this football game.
Yes, they do have to, just for division record. If you want to get a chance at the bye, like, it would be great to win this game.
Conference record too.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, conference I meant to say, sorry.
Oh, right.
This is not an in-division game. But yes, a conference opponent, you always want to make sure that you take them out when you can. But this is a game that, yeah, like you said, Lou, a lot of people were writing this off as a loss, which I don't know why. I mean, Green Bay has a good team. You shouldn't be by any stretch of the imagination. And 3 games in just is not enough to tell you who a team is truly. Are we going to go back to the 2016 Eagles, which were 3-0, and say that that team was a Super Bowl team?
Good point.
No, it was a team that a lot of things went in their direction and went the right way early in the season. It's good for Green Bay and their, quote, first-ranked pass rush to go against, according to Football Outsiders, 3 offensive lines that aren't even in the top half for DVOA, which is offensive line efficiency. So the best team that they've played offensive line-wise is Chicago at 18th. So the Eagles, a little bit better in pass protection. They are 11th in DVOA, which is good to see. So there are some things that this Packers team, yes, a 3-0 record, may stand in their favor, but you could get to them. Like I mentioned yesterday, they're a team that once you get outside of their scripted plays, their offense drops off quite a bit. So it's a team that has holes, much like this Eagles team. They have holes on their roster, and I think this Eagles team matches up well and could exploit a lot of those areas.
Yeah, I like the Packers. I had them as the top seed in the NFC in the offseason. I picked them to be one of the best teams in the conference. You did, too. So this is a really good Packers team, and again, it's on the road in a short week, so it is a tough opponent. But this isn't the Patriots where everything is working for them. The Patriots right now, I think the number was they're outscoring their opponents 106-17. And while they're beating terrible teams, much like the Packers have been, well, I shouldn't even say bad teams because they did beat the Bears and Vikings. But like you said, not great offensive lines, not great quarterbacks in Mitchell Trubisky and Kirk Cousins. Once again,
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, exactly. And Joe Flacco. Can't discard that either. If the 2019 Eagles are going to be still who we thought they were and will become, once again, this is a winnable game that should not be, while yes, maybe the Packers should be favored with the injuries and all the impacts we've been talking about here for the past 2 days, at the same time, it's not like the Patriots are coming to town. It's not like you have to go to Seattle when they were that near dynasty and it just felt like there was no way to win. This feels like a very winnable game. And me and Gino, we're going to get into the matchups that the Eagles can exploit and some of the ones that they have to win that are going to be tough challenges as well on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So stay tuned. That's coming up right here on this Tuesday edition of Lockdown Eagles. And guys, today we are sponsored by MyBookie. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on 2 minutes drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing quite like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts than any other sports book. Don't forget where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business, and it's where I play, and you should too. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. Welcome in, everybody. This is segment 2 of Locked on Eagles, this Tuesday edition. We are taking a first look at the Eagles Thursday night matchup with the Green Bay Packers. Gino will be joining Peter Bukowski tomorrow on the crossover Wednesday edition, Locked on Eagles and Locked on Packers. And I'm sure you guys will get into Gino. I think, and again, Aaron Rodgers still, you look at the arm strength, he's still, like, there's no drop-off. But at the same time, although they're 3-0, this Packers offense has flaws, and you were kind of hinting at it yesterday.
Yeah, it's just not looked as efficient as it has in the past. It's not one of those elite Aaron Rodgers-esque type offenses. They did it on the national stage the first game of the season. They looked great coming out the gate against Chicago and kind of died off. And that has been the trend that has happened for this Green Bay offense. We talk about it. Their third down conversion rate, they're 29th in the league at 25%. Once they get outside of their scripted plays, their offense goes from 7th to 30th. So an Eagles team that has to start fast, Green Bay is under more pressure, if not even farther pressure than the Eagles are to start fast, because the Eagles are a second half team. We know that. They looked great in every second half. They've had to battle back in every single game. So if you could stay with them in the beginning, things start to tail into your favor if you're the Eagles. And this has been a team that struggled to get off the field on third down. What better way to do it than going against a team that has converted on only 25% of their third downs? And the thing is, Lou, like we talk about it, we say the pass rush wasn't there, and it's going to have to get to Aaron Rodgers this time, but they're going to have to do it without the blitz, because he absolutely torched Denver last week. This is from Jaws, our good friend Ron Jaworski. Last week when Denver blitzed Aaron Rodgers, he had a 75% completion percentage, 12 yards an attempt, one touchdown, and 142.4 passer rating, as compared to when he was not blitzed, he had a 47% completion percentage, 5.4 yards an attempt, zero touchdowns, and a 63.6% passer rating. So what that means is that this Eagles team, that according to ESPN Next Gen Stats is in, what is it, offensive win rate, it has the third best pass rush.
Right.
They're going to have to get there. But the thing is, we talk about it's this slim line. Is it the coverage or is it the pass rush? Another great Eagle, Trey Thomas, pointed out that teams going against the Eagles get the ball out of their quarterback's hands in 2.3 seconds. That's fast. So what that means, this team is not going to be able to afford to blitz, and they're going to have to drop a lot of guys into coverage. And we talked about it. Who has a lot of pressure these upcoming weeks? The two young guys in Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas. And this is going to come down to them. Can those guys cover, and can Jim Schwartz put them in the right situation to allow them to cover for longer than 2.3 seconds? Because no matter how good you are in the pass rush, no matter how many Fletcher Coxes you have on your team, you're not going to get to the quarterback in 2.3 seconds. That is just an astronomical amount.
Especially when your corners are lining up 10 yards deep a lot of the time, the quarterback Absolutely. Always has an option short if they want to take it.
And Jim has to put them in that scenario to not allow that to happen. And that's on the coaching.
Right. A lot of it has to do with execution. The coverage has been bad, mm-hmm. specifically with Ronald Darby the first 3 weeks. But you're right. I mean, Jim Schwartz has to take some accountability, too. A lot of it also comes down to scheme. While I thought the pass rush was not great against Detroit, it did get there a lot of the time against Washington and Atlanta. So the other thing, though, Gino, here is if the pass rush, the front four, can have consistent pressure, they do have to finish here, though, because Aaron Rodgers has been really good escaping and throwing on the run, especially against Denver on Sunday. Rodgers went 5 of 7 for 82 yards from outside the pocket against the Broncos. He went 5 for 9 with 88 yards under pressure. He was 8 of 17 from outside the pocket in the first two games. So he was moving around. He was making some great throws on the run against Denver. And Rodgers loves when the play breaks down, much like Carson Wentz, much like guys like Patrick Mahomes. Rodgers was really the first one to do it out of all the guys in the NFL right now, where when structure breaks down and you just got to go play street ball, that's where he thrives. So yes, Brandon Graham can beat the right tackle, but then he can't have Rodgers find a way to slip away. And Brandon Graham has been known to have elite efficiency as a pass rusher, but there's a lot of times, there's a reason he has never hit 10 sacks before, Gino, and it's because finishing sometimes can be a struggle of his and this defensive line. So once they get to him, they got to bring him down too.
Yeah, I think one of the best assets that this team has is having a quarterback like Carson Wentz to practice with every day.
Yeah,
because
true.
Like you mentioned, him and Rodgers have a lot of the same similarities when it comes to escaping the pocket, where they like to throw from on the run. So they've seen that a lot of the times in practice. So these guys are going to be used to it. But like you said, you have to finish. You cannot let him escape. And guys like Vinny Curry, who is, he's got a leaky wheel when it comes to containing the edge. He's got to be able to stay consistent, stay sound, and not let Rodgers escape, like you said, because you keep him in the pocket and allow your corners to cover. That's where Rodgers gets flustered. But look at the statistics when he's blitzed. Look at the statistics when he gets outside the pocket. The evidence is there. We've seen it time and time again. Just look back to that playoff game against Dallas. Gets outside the pocket, makes one of the most unbelievable throws across his body to the boundary, and hits a game-winning field goal. So you got to keep him in the pocket. He's a guy that, much like a Dak Prescott, who you've seen time and time again, can take it with his legs, can move around, but his arm is going to be electric. Those guys know how to respond to the scramble drill. So being alert throughout the entire whistle is going to be huge, because he can take advantage of you if there's an offsides with the free play, or if you fall asleep in coverage, Devontae Adams and Valdez-Scantling, those guys know how to do a scramble drill better than anybody in the league, because Rodgers, that's his game.
And you made a great point yesterday. You were talking about Devontae Adams and how, you know, he's one of the hardest guys off the direct snap, off the line of scrimmage, one of the best route runners in the game. And you look at last year, you look at a guy like Amari Cooper, who's one of the top tier players in that category as well. And how if guys like Rasul Douglas, and I'm really excited about this challenge for Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones, they have had back-to-back really strong performances. Sunday I said Sidney Jones was kind of shaky. Outside now, going back and rewatching the game, outside of the touchdown and another play or two, I thought Jones was really, really solid again, and so was Avante Maddox. Avante Maddox you haven't really heard much of this year, but that's a good thing. It was a lot like Sidney Jones in the slot the first 6 weeks of the season last year. He wasn't really making plays, but it was because the ball wasn't really getting there. So they have a tough test with one of the best receivers in the game in Devontae Adams on Thursday, who has, though, outside of the Minnesota game, he was held to under 60 yards in week one and week three. So he has been contained by other teams. Rodgers has not been able to fully click with him quite yet. And to me, the strategy is either, especially if you're not going to have a guy like Jones shadow Devontae Adams, which I would prefer, but Jim Schwartz is not going to do it. If Rasul Douglas is going to cover him, first off, you got to have a safety over top and let him get his hands on him at the line of scrimmage, or let him play deep. The one thing that can't happen that Amari Cooper destroyed Douglas on in that first matchup with Philly last year at Lincoln Financial Field was Douglas was playing close to the line, but he wasn't getting his hands on him. And that's when a guy like Adams or Cooper with strong route running can open him up like a book and just go to town.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you have to get your hands on them. Rasul Douglas especially, because he does not have the elite speed that Sidney Jones fortunately has. But still, you're going up against Devontae Adams, who I've made my affection known for Devontae Adams and his route running ability is
rightfully so.
And just he has just turned into one of the best second round receivers I've ever seen in the NFL, and he's just gotten better every single year. Just truly has flourished with Aaron Rodgers, and he can beat our corners. We know it can happen, but like you said, Jim has to put them in the right situations. If he's going to be up at the line, you can't play bail. He will torch you. He will eat up space and just get on the back of Rasul's hip. And nighty night, if there's no safety over the top, he's going to take it to the house. So I say you take him out of the game plan. Like, you go that New England Patriots route. Just don't even allow him to burn you, because that's their weapon. You keep the run game, which has done great, and fourth in DVOA and run defense, and you got to hope that your pass defense, which is 22nd in DVOA, not as great, performs. And I think it got better by the eye test and what we saw on tape. It got better in the second half when it was Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones. And I like our chances. And like you said, we haven't heard much of Avante Maddox because he's done a good job. And I like the matchups in this game. I think this Eagles team, they're going to have their hands full for sure, but this is an even matchup. And if you want to compete in the NFC, you're going to have to beat good teams like this. And the good thing is, Thursday night games the past couple years, the Eagles have shown up. I mean, you look back to that Carolina game. You look back to the first week against Atlanta. They showed up and have closed down in big moments in these types of games. So this is one. Who needs it more? Do the Eagles or the 3-0 Packers, who just came off of some big victories and two in-division victories? So who needs this game more? I think this Eagles team is going to be very desperate for a win, so I hope they come out hot and get things clicking against this Packers team.
All right, we're going to flip sides of the field coming up next as we wrap up this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. The offense has a really big test against what I think is one of the best defenses in the league in the Green Bay Packers, and they haven't had a great test yet, and the Eagles probably will pose the biggest one so far. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, we are back. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri taking a first look at the Eagles' battle with the 3-0 Green Bay Packers on Thursday night. Gino, look, this pass rush hasn't had to go up against great offensive lines, but the Smith brothers, they're not actually brothers, but Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith have breathed new life into that Packers front four, combined for 5 sacks last week. They have 7.5 total combined this year. The offensive line bounced back for the Eagles in a big way. They got to win this matchup. This Packers defense looks to me the best that Rodgers has had probably since that 2010 Super Bowl team that beat the Eagles week one and in the wild card of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's one thing that we've talked about, giving Aaron Rodgers a defense is just unfair. And I was high on them last year. I know in the preview pod for 2018, I had them going to the playoffs, and I'm high on them again this year because we've seen it. This defense has came to play, and Darnell Savage, kid's going to win Rookie of the Year. If
their secondary is so good, and it's so stupid. Young.
Jair Alexander is unbelievable. Yeah, it's so – like Kevin King – we don't even mention Kevin King or Josh Jackson, but because they have Jair Alexander and Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage, that is an unbelievably young defense, and they finally have a front that can get to the quarterback, and Kenny Clark is just a mean, mean man when it comes to defending the run, and just they have a squad, and it's going to be a tough test, but this Eagles offense is once again healthy. You're not going to have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, sorry, I will get it. Don't worry.
You're going to owe a dollar to the jar every time now.
Yeah. But we did say we were going to call Marcega when he let us down. So
that's right. That's a good point. Yeah, good point. So you get a pass.
Arcega and Mac aren't going to have to play as much this week. I like that matchup. If you can get Nelson on Jair to try and just clear him out completely, because it's going to be tough to pass on one of the best corners in the league and let the other guys work elsewhere, and get the running backs involved, because these linebackers, they can be susceptible to covering the pass deep, and I like what they did last week, and do it again. Do what you did with Miles again. Get him involved more, because that was efficient, getting the ball downfield to him, and I think just getting him involved more, putting him on some of those wheel routes, it's just going to make this offense click even more, and I can't wait to see it with healthy Dallas and 12 personnel. Just things hopefully will run much smoother this Thursday night.
And I'm really excited to see Carson Wentz in, once again, a tough environment, a really tough environment against a great defense. Prior to some belief, I think Wentz has been really good against great defenses the past couple of years. You look at last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the best defenses in the NFL the past three seasons. I thought he put together one of his most complete games last year in London against the Jaguars. You look at 2017 against the Los Angeles Rams, against the Carolina Panthers, you mentioned on Thursday Night Football. Absolutely tore up the Denver Broncos defense, which was still considered a top unit in the league 2 years ago. Carson Wentz has been good against really good defenses, and the way he played against Atlanta in the second half, the way he played the entire game on Sunday against Detroit, I'm optimistic, I'm excited, and I think Carson Wentz is going to really seize this opportunity once again. It's a tough test, but it's exciting to see Carson Wentz in these situations and see what he can do, because, you know, the injuries the past 2 years have kind of kept him out of those big moments down the stretch.
Yeah, big moments and big-time matchups. This is a quarterback duel that you want to see him beat the greats, and you don't count quarterback wins, but these ones are the ones that you want to see them win. You see them have a hand up on a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and it is the changing of the guard in the NFL, but you got to beat these guys that are better than you. And Rodgers has made his presence known late in games that he can win those games. And Carson, if he puts together a complete game like he did last time, it shouldn't be as close as it was last week. I mean, Green Bay has a very good offense himself. They're going to be able to score, but we talked about just this offense operating efficiently. Just continue to operate the way you did last time. Scheme guys open. Don't try and throw at Jair Alexander. We know that's going to be a problem. And when Darnell Savage is in the area, his closing speed is unbelievable. So you gotta play the matchups in this game. It isn't a susceptible Detroit secondary without Darius Slay. It's going to be much tougher test with a much better pass rush than what we have seen in the past couple weeks. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a duel, but these are the games that you have to win in the NFC if you want home field advantage in the playoffs, or you want to have a bye for that matter. So I like my chances with 11 and Doug. I say that all the time, and I truly mean it. And I like a healthy offense. I like a healthy Carson Wentz. The way he moved last week just restored so much confidence in me. And with him at the helm, I think these guys really are going to play up for letting him down the past couple weeks. I think this is the game where they come to play. I think the guys get it in check this week.
And they did that last year. I thought they put together their most complete game last year on that Thursday night game, while it was against a New York Giants team that wasn't very good. Remember, they were 2-3. They were coming off two really tough losses against the Titans and the Vikings. And then on the road on a short week, they put together one of their best games of the 2018 season against the Giants. So hopefully the offense and defense can do that again in just a couple days. Gino, I would say I'm more excited. Look, I'm concerned about the defense against Rodgers, but I think the more exciting matchup is the chess match between this Eagles offense and the Packers defense. I think both units are really strong.
Yeah, it's one of those things that who's got the better X's and O's. It's a very, very good Mike Pettin defense and a front four that is going to get there and guys that can cover on the back end. If you've never seen Jair Alexander cover, just go do it and just enjoy because he's a mean, mean guy. He's a scrappy guy. Kevin King was Sidney Jones' right-hand man at Washington. Bigger guy, can cover well in zone coverage. You got a guy like Josh Jackson who excelled in zone coverage at, where was he, Iowa, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they've spent a lot of early picks on secondary.
Yeah, they went hard at that position because they have never had guys that can cover, and they still have a guy like Tremon Williams who's on the back end of his career. Still,
the Ageless Wonder.
He's still playing good ball, man. They have a elite linebacker in Blake Martinez. It's going to be a tough matchup, but we talked about before the season started the Eagles having this array of chess pieces. This is the game where you get out those nice fancy China chess pieces. You know, the ones that it almost looks like it's out of a movie. You get those ones. Dallas Goedert, he's your rook. Then you have your queen and Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey. And you just got to play those guys and put them in the right positions to win and win this chess matchup with a very good coach in Matt LaFleur, a very good defensive coordinator in Mike Pettin. You have a very good cast of characters in-house in Philadelphia. I think it's going to come down to coaching. And the last couple weeks, coaching hasn't been the strongest suit for either side of the ball. So put together a complete game. And that's really what I'm looking forward for this Eagles team is, can they put together 60 minutes of ball? Can they clean up the mental mistakes? Can they make the right calls on offense? Can they be put in the right situational positions on defense and just do things the Philadelphia Eagle way and win a football game when you really need it the most?
Absolutely. That's a good way to put it. And just, there's not a lot of mismatches when it comes to the Eagles offense being able to exploit Green Bay's defense, and really the same thing for Green Bay's defense. There are not a lot of areas of this Eagles offense that they can take advantage. As long as the Eagles don't start slow, like you said, coaching a big part, this should be a back and forth high powered battle on Thursday night. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Gino will be back tomorrow to take another look at this game, the crossover edition of the podcast with Locked On Packers, so stay tuned to that. We got into our Stock Up, Stock Down yesterday, Week 3 edition, so if you missed any of our podcasts, we've got another two or three coming up this week, so make sure you're subscribed on any podcast provider. Just tell your smart device to play Locked On Eagles, or if you're a desktop podcast listener, maybe you're doing your work in your cubicle, head over to LockedOnEagles.com, and of course the conversation always continues on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. All right, that's going to do it for my co-host Gino Camilleri. I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.